Breckening Podcast, interview time. I'm Brian Breckenridge. Today with me, I have my buddy of many years, Mr. Neil Samples.
Hello, hello.
That must have been a fun last name having growing up. I bet nobody made fun of that.
Yeah,
Sample,
nobody.
Sampler platter. I'm just going to go off the dome here. Well, that's all I got, sampler platter.
Yeah,
there's
this running joke in my family that my brother almost got named Free.
Oh, yes.
And everyone is like, as soon as I say that, everyone's like, oh, that totally should have happened.
Oh, yeah. People came to this country and changed their names to avoid persecution and things like that. But they did not think of the, you know, shitty kids in junior high or even elementary, your smarter, more smart alecky ones that are like, what last name can I just grab onto?
Yeah, they'll find a way.
Ridicule the fuck out of.
It doesn't matter what it is. Children will find a way.
Yes, children are horrible. And you just had a child, too.
Yeah.
Great segue. How old is Lil Phobos? AKA Mars, that's her legal name,
yeah,
her government name. I call her Little Phobos because I'm a fan of astronomy. And the game Doom, mm-hmm, I believe Phobos is where the gate from hell opened up. So there's a little bit of dark subterfuge in my fun nickname. But anyways, how old is Mars?
She, let's see, be a year and 5 months.
Mm. I would have guessed like almost 5 months because that's how I picture people I know who have kids' lives. Like, wow, oh, you've been a parent this whole different life journey for that long now. Oh, it's been a month for me in my time. Oh, sorry to
sometimes
trivialize it that much.
No, sometimes it definitely feels like a month, and other times it's you're not driving yet? Like, this has been ages.
You're not
already
even in school yet? Oh, God. Yeah. Oh. Can she, I never remember. When do babies start? Can she kind of walk? I just ate dinner with y'all. So she was sitting down.
Yeah, I guess we were like holding her. She was sitting down the whole time. But usually a year. Some babies are a little longer. Some are definitely sooner than that. Hers was a little after her first birthday where she was walking regularly. And now she's like running, going up and downstairs.
Yeah.
I think jumping is probably going to be the next thing.
Oh, there
she's
you go.
Kind of bouncing. And
then you can get her that little, like the little trampoline.
Yeah,
you know how great jumping can be? Let's get you this.
We actually talked about that a couple of nights ago, getting one of those.
I had a real trampoline growing up, mm-hmm, and it was amazing. That just brought a whole new level of childhood, which I had. My good friends would come over, we'd go on the trampoline, have fun. But there was a guy in my neighborhood, lived a few streets over, that I know straight up came to my house to use me for the trampoline.
Yep.
He got away with it once because then it sunk in. I'm like, oh, that's why. Oh, yeah. From now on, I'm not able to play. Like, no, this is for me. And especially growing up watching wrestling,
mm-hmm,
take it to the trampoline. Oh, I'm doing all the moves to a ghost that I'm just, you know, body slamming, suplexing, doing everything I need.
Yep.
And then I started watching Dragon Ball Z when that started coming on. So now I'm a Super Saiyan and Kamehameha-ing.
Yep.
Oh,
many waves. Yeah.
Now, and you get hurt every once in a while, but who cares? It's a trampoline. It comes with the territory.
Yeah. Did yours have the cage around it?
No.
The net
fuck
thing?
That. No.
Yeah, mine didn't.
Our parents were just like, no, here you go.
It's fine.
I think we had a trend. Our next door neighbor, he got a trampoline, and then ours had pads. They weren't like the
Bare springs. Yeah.
We had like the minimal padding.
Yeah.
Next door neighbor had zero. I remember landing there. Luckily, like it wasn't that bad, but I had like a big ass swollen like part of my mouth at, mm-hmm, one point because there was no padding.
Yep.
And then this little shit kid that who I babysitted at points in time, like he just had to get a trampoline. It was just like, okay, fine. And but our trampoline was so many years of just hours and hours of bouncing.
Yeah, bouncing on it yourself with other people, putting things on it, and then bouncing the things and
putting a sprinkler underneath.
Oh yes, and slipping on it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And if it's not like thunders, it was just raining outside. You're like, well, can I? Yeah. Okay, yeah. But you goddamn, you know, wipe your feet off before you come in here.
Right.
But I highly recommend. I think my sister got my niece and nephew, they had a trampoline. They might still have it, but they had the fucking netting around there. It's just like, man, really?
It's probably a good idea.
It is.
How much, like how many options of things that we did as a kid are just no longer like fine. Like, I don't know. We jumped off the roof of our house onto the trampoline. And
our trampoline wasn't close to the roof. It was near the back, in the back fence, where I was like, you're not. Better. Okay, yeah. And I would not have been ballsy enough to do that myself.
We definitely did.
I did have a buddy Rudy. We're, you know, we just got into Dragon Ball Z. Mm-hmm. And so he's sitting there just jumping. He's like, Brian, I'm going to Super Saiyan. I'm going to Super Saiyan. And it was just like, all right, yeah, yeah. And he just kept trying to get higher and higher and higher. I'm like, he's not stopping. Oh, he's getting closer to me. I don't know how this is going to end. And then he kind of jumped my way. And then I just instinctively jumped backwards. And then luckily we had... You know, this is what they called it then. It's not like that monkey grass. That's what they called it. It's grass that looks like the head of a Muppet.
Yeah, it's like a bulb, but it's
long. And we had a lot of it near there. We fell into that.
Yeah.
Unscathed. And it was just like, and we just laughed at how ridiculous that whole thing was. I'm just like, dude, I wasn't even mad just because we were fine. You know, we got some maybe little grass stains on our jeans. It was fine. But trampolines, that's just it puts childhood imagination to a different stratosphere. Just because you're going up and down, you're like, I'm 5 feet in the air, you know, every time, or you know, four, whatever.
To a level like if you didn't have a pool in your backyard, like that was almost the next best thing. Like you were the trampoline house. If you weren't the pool house, you were the trampoline house.
Yeah.
And like kind of the same thing. I remember having a friend. That would always come over. Like sometimes we'd catch him just in our backyard because we didn't have a fence. Okay. Our driveway went around, so we didn't have a fence. And you could just walk back there, and he would just be back there.
Straight up like the Simpsons episode.
Yeah,
the trampoline's gone. Let's jump on his car. So where did you grow up?
I was born with your trampoline. In Lubbock, West Texas, and we moved here when I was 10.
Oh, okay.
We actually had the trampoline here. So as a young kid, I grew up trampolineless. But Lubbock was cool.
You might be alone in that statement to a lot of people, but please continue.
As a child, it was cool just because our neighborhood, there was a big open field at the end of our street. And then the next street over is the house where my best friend lived. Wow. So it was like right there. And it was quiet enough where we just like rode our bikes around. And it was kind of the whole... You know, see you after breakfast, be home when the street lights come on, and it was fine.
That system worked. Yeah. Loved it.
I don't know if that would have worked in a more metropolitan area or anything.
In the burbs. In Irving, Texas, it was fine. It was full of streets and houses and everything, but there's, you know, streets and houses. You know, you're not crossing a street light. There's just stop signs around.
Right.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, there's some stop signs, but... it was back then when four ways were just like mandatory stop signage.
Right.
Like, people were driving 30. They know.
Yeah. It was about four blocks, maybe five blocks up. There was a little gas station, and that was about as far as we ventured, you know, before we moved at that age, you know, getting up there for a candy bar or a Slurpee or something. Mm. But it was nice. I don't know, going back as an adult, Lubbock definitely has that feeling that you kind of hinted at earlier. There's not a whole lot going on in Lubbock, you know, unless you go to Tech or something. But as a child, it was fine. We moved here when I was 10. That was weird. I remember that being a hard time moving at that age. That was fifth grade. So, like, having all these established friends and then having to start over. But it wasn't that bad. Like at that age, there was plenty of time.
You know, the world's ending at that. I could totally understand that mindset. Like,
yeah.
We moved halfway through high school, just from Irving to Euless, just on the other side of the airport. Mm-hmm. But we used my godmother's address. She actually worked at the high school I started at, just so I could finish high school there. So I could technically live in the same district, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And just because I was like, I took offense to that. I'm like, I don't want to move. I don't want to switch high schools. They understood they're going to move.
Yeah.
But they're like, okay, we get it. You know, also you have a car by now, so you can drive yourself there. And it wasn't that far away. I literally just wore my way through the airport to get back to Irving. So
oh.
not the biggest deal, but But that you're more like formative. You're like, I'm halfway through high school.
Yeah.
I have these friends I've had for, you know, most of my life. Now, fifth grade, I could see just, you know, uprooting your kid. It's like, yeah. We're moving to civilization.
It was the year my brother had just graduated high school. So they basically wanted to make him, like, see him through so he wouldn't have to go through, you know, missing or transferring during high school. With the rest of us kids, you know, basically it was my sister was seventh grade, I was fifth, and my other sister was fourth. So it was like all right there in that middle stage.
Oh, so you weren't alone. You're like, everybody's got to go through this.
Yeah, it was a little weird. We made friends on our street and, you know, eventually branched out, made friends at school and stuff. So it was fine. But it was like a big deal right in the middle of school age. Yeah, we survived.
Oh, I would have thrown a fit. Yeah.
I was definitely the quiet, like, introverted, kind of kept to myself anyway. So I, you know, one bedroom is just another bedroom at another house. So for a while, it was fine.
So naturally, you found your way to bartending, being an introvert.
Yeah, it was actually...
Because that's how we met. You bartend, you still do. Oh, you went back just, you know, make, you know, money because there's money involved. But I think that's where I believe we first met. You bartending at Caves, long established bar in Arlington, where I've lived for, I don't know, 10 plus years now. But that's where we first crossed paths.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because I had friends that worked there. Our friend Jamie, who I met at the comedy club, but also worked there. So that, and then I started going, I'm like, what's this cool bar? And so, and that was me like branching into bars. How long have you worked at Caves?
I started 2012, so 10 and a half years now. There's a little gap some in there, but yeah, I started about 10 years ago. It was actually a conscious decision, to kind of fight that introvertedness. I had started hanging out at Caves and the neighboring Sunshine Bar, a fair amount. And I started seeing the dynamic of how people interacted, the people that were working there, the bartenders, the door people and stuff. And it was a conscious decision to try and get in there and kind of open myself up. Having conversations with strangers at the drop of a hat about anything under the sun never was an ability of mine. So having a very public facing job and career, that was kind of the end goal there. And it was rocky for a little bit, but now after doing it for so many years, you know, I feel like I can have a conversation just, you know, at the grocery store or, you know, at a gas pump or something.
Yeah, you had a line at the grocery store. You're like, oh, I fucking own this.
Yeah.
That's like being that's a comedian fine. Anywhere that's not a comedy club. You're like, oh, I can make these people laugh easy.
Yeah.
May not be the material I want to do, but it's the material that's called for while we're waiting. To ring up.
I don't know that. I always saw that as a weakness of my own was the kind of being inside my own head so much and being able to get out and, you know, interact with the world around me. As a young child, I remember that being an issue that my parents talked to me about. So as I'm getting older, kind of slowly stepping into that, and this definitely helped me kind of break out of my shell.
Oh, okay.
So it started off as kind of a, you know, self-help kind of, you know, help myself along life's journey.
Like a real life exercise and public speaking plus, you know, sales or whatever.
But. Yeah. And actually now, like, looking for other positions and jobs, other careers and stuff, and sales keeps popping up just because of the bartending and then the outgoingness that I, you know, adapted to, that keeps getting offered and brought up, and I keep seeing things about it. Well, I don't really know that I want to do that, but that's, I don't know, kind of the next step from bartending. You know, if you're not in real estate, you're in sales.
Yeah. Yeah. My old job, you know, technically in like marketing promotions, my buddy, like, now who did that job, I got him that job for a few years. Then he moved to Austin. Now he sells trees. I have to tell people that's not code for he sells weed.
Yeah.
He literally works at a nursery and sells trees and, you know, makes good money doing it.
Yeah, and trees are expensive.
He says it all, you know, a lot of that experience. Like, he waited tables at every possible place that you could think of. And then He was like selling furniture on the weekends and during the week, you know, slinging cigarette coupons, you know, with me. And,
yeah.
And then he was just went into actual hardcore sales of trees. And he quit. He's like, a lot of that comes from being able just to approach strangers with the job I've had. And he's like, dude, you can do this too. And I'm like, I don't want to. No, I really want to try to do something with this comedy thing.
Yeah.
I don't mind talking to strangers, but I don't mind talking to strangers. They're sitting down in a club.
Yeah.
And I can tell them jokes.
They're on purpose.
I don't mind talking to them outside either. That's fine. But if I'm going to sell them something, I want it to be me and maybe the idea of seeing me do, you know, comedy. But I don't have a kid I need to take care of.
Yeah.
Me and my lady, you know, have jobs, take care of ourselves and the pets. I don't need money that bad, but I appreciate the offer. But I'm sticking with the I want to be an artist thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, you're your own product, so you're a salesman of a type.
Odd being a I don't want to say closed-minded, but an idealistic punk rocker type. I'm like, yeah, fuck consumerism, capitalism. And now I'm just kind of like, oh, I got to market my brand. Oh, this is a weird headspace to be in, but it's me. And all I have to do is sell me. Okay, but it's me. I'm the product. Oh, no, I just call myself a product. I don't know how to consolidate this in my head. Thank you, modern terminology. And the word brand and vibe. And it's a stupid place to be in. But, hence the podcast. I have to do that too. But
no, this is a nice medium. How do you feel about this medium?
The more I'm doing it, I bought this shit back in like 2021. I did like maybe 8 interviews, clocked in around two and a half hours, and I did nothing with it in 22.
Yeah.
And then this year I was like, I bought the shit. I need to do something. And if I can somehow grow a fan base this way,
mm-hmm.
then I'd love that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and the people that have like big time podcasts, comics, and then they can like, oh, I can, you know, this is how much I'm drawing here. You have to basically book, blanking on the word here, but like, if you're like, hey, I did the show, I had X amount of people come, I had 10 people come because of the podcast. You just have to keep growing it. And then you have to keep doing the podcast mm-hmm. and, you know, more just building on top of that. Then you can like use that to sell yourself to somewhere. You know, and through like systems that you have now, like I go through Podbean, funny name for, you know, I'm like, oh, you got to name it something, but I'm like, Podbean? Okay, fine, whatever. But you can see where, you know, when you get big enough or good enough, you can see where people are downloading from geographically.
Oh, wow.
So I'm waiting for my first non-Texas download. That'll be fun. And then maybe like a, you know, a European download or something.
Somewhere in the Philippines or something.
Someone was really goddamn bored. It was like, you know what? I've listened to all these top tier podcasts. Give me something very DIY. You know, I want to know what this guy in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, who's a comic, but, you know, has... rarely has on comedians on his podcast. I want to know what he thinks about X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
But
I think this is excellent.
The more I do it, the more fun I have. Like I did, I recorded 2 last night, and it was a lot of fun. And I'm learning how more to be like interactive, energetic,
mm-hmm.
instead of, because I've always hated the sound of my voice. Apparently, it's not that bad to other people, but I'm like, yeah, but you don't have my ears and my brain. And again, everyone hears their voice differently than everyone else.
Right.
So, and you can't, and then you hear it recorded and played back to you, it's even worse.
This is what people hear.
And like this is what I've been subjecting people to through a PA system at random bars and comedy clubs for
years. Oh
God. No wonder I can't get booked. Like, oh, maybe that's different reasons. But
no, I think this is a great way to give like your artistry or something, like give that to people they can listen to in their car or whatever. Like that's the point, is to get
on the way here. My buddy Bill, shout out Bill Falk, because he will I think he may know him. I think he lives in like Plano now. He literally messaged me like, hey, I've listened to some episodes, I'm really enjoying these, like, keep it up. I'm like, oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. And
yeah.
And that was really nice. There's a chance you've met Bill. Like, he'll go to Sunshine and most likely as well Caves. Okay. He taught in China for like 3 years, like English. And just, he was one of those guys. He didn't like permanently move. He's back now, but he was just kind of like, fuck this country. I got to go experience something different. And I think he went to, I don't want to be like Beijing, but possibly Beijing or some other giant city over there. And he actually did it. He actually went across an ocean to experience a different part of the world, which is like, shit, who the fuck can say that?
Yeah.
Not many.
That's wild. I've heard like there's certain situations you can get in where you're a private tutor, where you can live in someone's house teaching their children English, like hands-on, native speaking English, and like your room and board and everything's covered. Like that would be crazy to like have an intimate, you know, casual kind of living situation where you're not just like up in a hotel or living in an apartment by yourself. You're like engaging with a family.
You can hear them fight in the room next
door. Like, oh, they fight differently.
In a different language. You're like,
yeah.
Well, they're loud like everybody else. I guess that's how you universally fight. But yeah. Okay, yeah, cool. All right. And now they're fucking. Oh, God.
Some things are the same.
So I guess, well, bartending, you've stuck with that for like a long time because you hear stories and good and bad that one, on the good nights, it can pay insanely well.
Yeah.
And not a bad way to, you know, work 5 hours and, you know, net a few $100. That's why, you know, pretty much all the bartenders, you know, stick with that because they're like, well, I could wake up early and go work for an hourly wage.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could just rely on a lot of these regulars who I maybe enjoy talking to, or I force myself to enjoy talking to. Because with regulars, there's the ones that you like seeing, you know, their drink, you know, they're good tippers. You see them walk through the door, you already start making their drink because they never change it.
Yeah.
Then you have regulars that you're like, fuck.
There's definitely some that
names. No. Every first like, and last.
There's definitely some where, you know, you have a relationship with where you can build upon with the conversation. So then every day isn't the same. It's not the same recycled stories over and over about something else. And then you're just staring at each other for another 2 hours. You know, you have something, you're engaged in their life and they're in yours. So, I mean, you're friends to an extent. And then there's other ones like you said, where it's just people come into the bar a lot and okay, that is what it is. You know, you don't have to be a intricate part of everyone's life. Definitely, I like that you brought up the money thing. It can be a fairly lucrative job. I always like the schedule. I've always thought of myself more as a night owl, so it just kind of fell into place. Yeah,
same.
You know, I'm going to be up till 5 a.m. anyway, so, you know, why not? I also saw that the harder I worked, generally, the more I made. The more effort I put into it and stuff, the more I made.
Yeah, because the customers are paying you.
You give them...
The bar isn't paying you.
Right, the customer's paying me, so the better experience, the... you know, drinks quickly made well, the engaging, you know, conversation, cleanliness, all that kind of stuff goes into it. But you provide all that for them. Generally, you're going to make out better. And I always like that system
maybe
better.
Maybe make
than,
out with something.
Yeah, well, maybe.
If you want to royally fuck up something good.
Yeah, you could.
Like where you work, where they drink, one of your many income streams. If you really want to commoditize your regulars, don't call them regulars because that denotes that they might be a human being. Call them income streams. Say it to their face. You're my favorite income streams. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. People that I like to talk to.
You're my most reliable source of income.
I don't see a dollar bill in your eyes when you come in here. I see irises and pupils in the color. Pay me money. No,
I always like that better than, you know, you're worth X amount of dollars per hour and you're going to show up. And you're going to get that. And that's it, you know? But taking it gives and takes, you know, some days, you know, it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to leave with you know, a lot less than you thought.
Oh yeah, you can't.
And then other days it just falls in your lap. So
you're staring at the door like, is somebody gonna walk in?
Yeah.
At any point?
I've definitely had that. Yeah. Sitting at a bar alone by myself working for 4 straight hours. Definitely had that. But
I've waited tables too. It's similar, not the same obviously, but it's mm-hmm. like yeah. Yeah, these different income streams.
Yeah.
You ever get to a point, I did with my old job working a lot of bars, giving out cigarette coupons. Ever get to a point, now again, I'm at bars, I'm interacting with, you know, inebriated to some degree people. You just think to yourself, man, that 18th Amendment was a good idea. Like, you just talk to a drunk piece of shit asshole just saying the dumbest things that you didn't know was possible with any kind of intoxicant. And you're just like, I would love to nuke my career, my financial stability, just so this asshole. This is where my mind goes, yeah. Where I'm just like, let's just make it illegal again. Let's just ban alcohol because that's how much I hate this one person. I'm not saying maybe your mind's gone there, but man, and of course it's your job to, you know, and this is one thing I hate is that how it's like a lot of times now, again, bartenders can overserve, but I hate how so much of it is like, it's good and bad. It prevents y'all from overserving, but also someone could be such an experienced drunk that they can, they're on the patio, they're shit faced, and everyone around them knows they shouldn't have another drink, mm-hmm. but then they can just magically get it together to come see you. Someone who is not out there watching them, you know, and how drunk they are. They get it all magically together to come to you without slurring, order another drink, and you give it to them because you're like, you don't notice anything. You're behind the bar. You're doing your job.
Right.
And you know, they drive home, hit somebody, kill somebody or something. And then the next thing you know, the authorities are sniffing, you know, at your establishment, you know, zeroing in on you. I've always felt that.
That's definitely been in the back of my brain for a long time. You know, whether it'd be a situation like that or somebody choose to do or indulge in something else other than alcohol and then come and, you know,
oh yeah, have a drink, yeah, I got that bar, too. Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, their actions afterward are on you.
Like, yeah, like they're not drunk when they come here. They might be on something else,
mm-hmm.
but you don't know, and they could also just be a weird dude or have like severe mental issues, but not enough to where they sound impaired, and they can also order a drink, and the cocktail you give them pushes them over the edge, and then mm-hmm. it comes back to you. I've always been like, when I started waiting tables and you take the TABC thing, mm-hmm. and they're like, yeah, if this person, you overserve them, it comes to you. And I've talked to people, you know, they're like, oh yeah, people that have been in restaurants, you know, the restaurant for years. They're like, oh yeah, cops came in and arrested a bartender like 5 years ago. And you're like, fuck, that's a thing?
Yeah.
That really, you know, like, holy shit. I can see both sides, but it also really sucks that's...
Yeah, there's definitely a line that you're kind of walking there. And some bartenders and servers just totally disregard it. And others play it real, real conservative to a point where people don't like going to see them or drinking at their bar.
I hate that because you can buy a bottle of all the liquors you want and have them at home. You drink a lot at home, then you get in your car and go.
Yeah.
Who is the, and then you can like, oh, you take the chain of custody back. I'm like, oh, is it the liquor store's fault?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
Because that's just, so I'm like, because you have to drink it there on premise or it's, you can't take it to go.
Right.
And then it's your fault.
No, I'm responsible for
that's
this,
a part of
this
government.
Adult that can't act like an adult.
Yeah, I've not been a fan of that. Where I'm just like, it's their fault being like, okay. And yeah, that's always just seemed to. Even like because that's, you know, also responsible for the waiters.
Yeah.
And I just never liked that because there's also the option of just like, oh, this person, you know, drank half a bottle of vodka before they got to the bar.
Yeah. Came in and ordered a shot and then is now an issue. Yeah.
So yeah, just shut it all down.
It's something.
Let's make alcohol dangerous again.
Yeah. You kind of have to like be mindful of, but I've learned to not let it totally consume me, like that worry and I guess fear of all that happening. You definitely have to, you know, keep it in the forefront of your brain, but I don't know.
I figure at some point
you still have to do your job.
You're experienced enough to where you've served so many people who've been drinking, you know, like, and it's like second nature to cut them off.
Yeah.
Or the telltale signs, slurring, their actions, just their general mannerism has changed, and you just like bam. And that's what's very interesting about, you know, bartending. Waiting, you can only see such a small slice of that. But bartending, because you're there, and part of your job is to keep an eye on these fucking drunk toddlers.
Yeah.
And make sure, you know, they're not.
Some people don't get that shit up or don't realize that part of the whole having a conversation with people is assessing your state.
It lets them know, hey, I'm talking to you, I'm having a conversation with you, but I'm watching you.
Yeah, it's also like, can you still form a sentence? You have coherent thoughts.
Big bartender is watching you. Yeah.
And then you have some people that come in just completely hammered every time you see them. Yeah. So that's their normal.
Okay.
And then, so, I don't know. That's always weird.
Now, you have a hand in my my comedy development, because when I first started producing shows at Sunshine, I bought a PA. I borrowed it. And at some point, I'm like, I'm going to make this an investment. So I bought it from you. And what? I
forgot about that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I didn't, because I spent money. Spent a few hundo on a PA system. A PA system that more than did the job of amplifying comedian voices in small sunshine.
Yeah. No, I had bought that
too. You bought it because you had aspirations, musical aspirations, right?
Yeah, I'd been playing music with a couple of people at that time, and we did our first show in their living room at their house, just for a small handful of people. We're like, oh, this is gonna be big. We need something more.
We're gonna make it.
Yeah. Went out, bought a PA system. I went to Guitar Center looking for other stuff. This was on sale. It was still like $800 or $900 or something. Mm. Bought it. Had it for, I don't know, 2, maybe 3 years before I let you use it. And then you approached me, the officer, of like buying it.
So I got a really good deal.
Yeah.
I bought it for $500.
Yeah, you definitely did. But it was just sitting around because that never came to fruition anyway. So
yeah, I think you mentioned that you had a PA system. I was like, oh, because we had to rely on the owner's friend, who this guy, what's his name? Is it Shane? He always said he was an MTV VJ, but nobody could ever corroborate that. Right, guy. Man, he also wore a hat, glasses.
Yeah.
I did a show in Granbury, Texas, of all places, where the headliner dropped, and then he asked me if I could fill in. It paid $100, and yeah. I happened to have that Friday night off, and I was like, yeah, sure, man, cool. Works for me. $100, do, you know, half hour. All right. And he said the last couple, you know, the shows have been, you know, good. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, Granbury. Hey, money? All right, cool. And it was, I can't blame it all on it was the Mavericks Warriors playoff game. Last year.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, June of last year. Mm-hmm. And we go there. There's 6 people watching the show. And I'm not counting the comics. And that fucking guy, Shane, is there. And I'm like, hey, man, what's up? And it's not even like a bar that's on like the lake, which is what, you know, Grand Prairie is known for.
Right.
It's they had like this back patio area. And they had the most mosquito-filled, like, pond I've ever seen. It was just like, oh, fun. And then there was people playing. They had, like, a pool hall section where we were watching the basketball game at. And then this giant empty room with a stage. And so we go up there, and there is a very – there's a spotlight. But it's not, like, a spotlight that lights the stage. It's a spotlight that has one – defined clear white circle on stage, literally. So it's like, if your head is in the middle of that light, you know, it stops, you know, in your abdomen.
Yeah.
And you can't see anything. You're just half a body on that stage. And I'm sitting there just like, oh, cool, great lighting.
Yeah.
And then the guy that booked it, he was like, hey, so we started an hour and a half late when there's nobody there. So I was like, yeah, cool. And he was like, yeah, so I can at least get you some gas money. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, in my head, you know, that translates to $100, but I don't think that's what he's thinking.
Yeah.
So I messaged my buddy Wes, who's the one that asked me to fill in. And then, well, and then the guy came back like soon after that. He's like, all right, we can do like $40 and, you know, and you'll do 15 minutes. I was just like, well, it's half the time, but I still drove here for $100. All right. And then I was like, yeah, all right. And I hear you. So I messaged Wes. That's when I messaged Wes. He's like, yeah, at first they say gas money, and now he's saying 40 plus, you know, 15 minutes. And Wes was just like, Wes, don't fuck around. He's like, man, that's fucking bullshit. He goes, if it comes to it, I will Venmo you that 60. But I think Wes like messaged that guy. It was like, this is, you know, I told him, you know, $100, and then, you know, I got $100.
Nice.
I got $100 to do 15.
Man,
for people that didn't give a shit in a poorly lit, is that guy Shane
about bartending being lucrative?
And no, that's so rare. It's I would love to do. I would love to get paid $5. I mean, $100 for 15 minutes for six people. It's not yay. I have $100 more than I did.
Yeah, but
before
I know
he messaged me, but it's just kind of like, you know. Yeah, okay, yes, I'll do that. But that's not what we do it. We want to do it. Give me $50 to do 15 for 60 people.
Yeah.
That would be fun, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that would more than pay for the gas to drive like an hour away. But that's why it's nice to do comedy where people live.
Yeah.
It's always a plus. These shows exist, and some are great.
That in Granbury that was booked.
Yeah.
But I guess you probably drive all over. Is that the farthest from DFW you've driven?
Oh, no. I mean, I've done shows in Austin, Houston, Memphis.
Okay.
Gone to Oklahoma a couple of times, or once. Yeah. I mean, there are a couple of clubs in Oklahoma that you can do. There's some little indie shows. But, I mean, there's shows all over the place. But to some, you're just kind of like, do I even want to, you know, risk it? You know, you can get a few comics, get one car, split the gas, you know, maybe split a hotel, however that all needs to work out. But then sometimes you're like, you should do these things. And I have done these things at some point, but then sometimes you kind of want to direct yourself to like, I want to work. I'm not trying to work these clubs.
Yeah.
Or if I go out of town, I'm going to try to work these decent to awesome shows.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, you know, do the best you can, you know, network, talk to people. Then when you go back, do those things again and just kind of, you know, up the quality. Because you can do any types of shows, but they will be of such varying degrees of good or shitty or hell gigs is what, you know, the term in the industry is hell gigs. And a lot of those are like road type things.
Right. Just somewhere along the path to something else.
Yeah.
That you just pull over and do 15 for six people.
Oh yeah, like especially I mean, even these days, but especially during like 80s and 90s, you know, if comics you call road dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, they might be auditioning for a TV show, they might be trying to get into the movies, but they never could, but they're still good comics. But and there's also like circuits you can do.
Yeah,
like you get with these certain bookers, they're like, and you know, you do the circuit, they like it, and come back, you know, next year and do it again, or maybe like twice a year do the circuit, you know, of like clubs in Podunk, USA, or casinos, or whoever has these shows somewhere that people like. A couple of buddies of mine were talking about this show at this bar in West Oklahoma. And, you know, it's just small town. There's nothing. But the thing is, like, you're going to do that show. You're that town's entertainment for that night. So sometimes these shows are like, that's what people do. Cause you know, going, you know, to like, you know, Oklahoma City is like fucking maybe like 3 hours for them. That's a drive. It's like, so
this is something and they're local and it's new. And
growing up in DFW my whole life, you know, I've visited small towns. You know, I went to, you know, relatives in Weatherford, but even then that's not that far from Fort Worth, right. You know, one of the top 20 populated cities, you know, in America. So I've grown up in DFW my whole life. The world has come to me. And so I'm not ignorant that small towns exist. I just had no need to go there because I'm in DFW. I'm surrounded by dozens and dozens of cities.
Yeah,
and some of the biggest cities in the country too. You know, two of them, maybe three if you want to throw Arlington in there.
Yeah.
you know, that's right in the middle of a fucking almost 8 million people. So
that's wild to be like an entire little town's entertainment for, and they probably talked about it for days.
Yeah.
I saw it on posters.
Yeah. Something. And the show's just two comics. My two buddies were talking about it. And then the other two comics were doing it like the following month. Cause like a monthly show and people come out for it. And, you know, apparently they pay well. And I've done like a couple of shows like these, but like they pay well. They give you like a shitty motel room. And you can either be like, I take the shitty motel room or I just drive back that night. You usually take the room because you have a lot to drink. Yeah. And you don't want to roll them dice. So,
I don't know. Do you like those shows better? I mean,
I'd rather a club. I'd rather a club because it's just, that's what comedy's meant for. It's got one purpose.
Yeah.
Stand up, you sit down, you get your drink minimums plus more, your fry, your cheese sticks, whatever. And you're there for one purpose. And it's just all built and constructed for that. So, yeah. You know, you can have some, you know, and I've done so many shows that non-comedy clubs that are also like conducive to some way for comedy, mm-hmm. but you like, and you do everything you can to tweak little things here and there. But I did a solo episode where I just went through, you know, I was thinking 30 minutes, but it ended up being about an hour of me going through open mics and through the shows and just all the little bullshit that comes in between.
Yeah.
Also ran a lot of those things. But you try to, but you can't, you know, people get up and go to the bathroom because they are at a bar. They want to get up and go smoke or
have a conversation.
Yeah. You know. And that's like that's the one thing you hope people are like, hey, this is a comedy show. Can you at least not do that? You can do everything else. Like, we get it. You want to get up, you know, go outside, you know, if you can't smoke inside, you know, go do that or go to the bathroom. That's totally fine. But let's just all pretend that we're in a comedy club for the next hour and a half. Let's just pretend that the lighting's better. That let's just pretend people aren't walking in.
Yeah.
Which does happen. Like, you can't, you know, prevent that from happening. That's totally fine. You know, that's, you know, the little things you know, that's what you have to do to, you know, get this extra stage time. Mm-hmm. You know, or if you want to produce a show, because, you know, you're not, you know, working every weekend, and, you know, which is hard to do in any scene, let alone get paid enough, you know. But so music, that your band, how's your band? So that really didn't
go existent. No, I took a break from music for several years.
You do guitar?
Yeah, I started playing guitar when I was 15. Branched into like bass. Started picking up a little more piano. I started just, you know, guitar tabs and stuff, and then that wasn't enough, or there was something that I wanted to learn and I couldn't find tablature for it. It was just actual sheet music. So then I started delving into absolutely, yeah. So I started picking
up what all the kids are listening to.
Yeah, and what was this, 2006? But did that for a while. It was very much a private thing. Started branching out with a few other people, and that's when I had the PA, started playing with other people, but that never really like came into anything. But it's always been just a personal, I guess, almost like therapy, I guess, kind of a hobby, just to separate everything else in life and focus on this for a while and kind of see what can happen with it. Took a break for several years. And then the most recent kind of jump start to that was me buying a cello a couple of years ago.
A cello?
Yeah. Wow. I'd always wanted to play cello.
Some people start with like something like that and then they go on to, you know, a more commercial instrument. Yeah.
No, I've always liked the sound of a cello. And
yeah, I saw Cursive Live last year, and a cello mixes pretty well with a post-hardcore band. It's I want to say it was a cello, whatever they had. They got a string instrument. And I was like, "Holy shit." Yeah. Awesome. Amy's agreeing with us, like.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, cello, holy shit. It's not just for like moody, like, you know, kind of sounding stuff like Murder by Death or something like that, you know, which is still great in there. Or maybe they have a fiddle. I don't know. But a cello, unexpectedly, rocking instrument.
Yeah, I would love to be able to incorporate that into, I don't know, other genres or aspects of music the way
And you're a Cradle of Filth cover band?
Yeah, absolutely.
What kind of music has always been? I kind of know the answer to this, but what kind of music do you like enjoy? Or possibly envision yourself playing when we've all pretended to be rock stars at some point in the shower or in our bedrooms or trampolines.
Yeah. I remember playing air guitar on a trampoline. When I first started, it was very much like classic rock and blues, learning like blues scales on the guitar and stuff. That transitioned into more heavier rock and then into metal and stuff. And after college, I definitely wanted to start a thrash metal band. And I've always wanted to be a guitarist for a thrash band.
You got the hair.
Yeah,
you've always had the hair.
I do have the hair.
It's maybe not as poofy as like your traditional thrash bands of the 80s, but
I'll just have to order some Aquanet,
a little hairspray,
like, little tease, yeah.
Tease it up, yeah. But so thrash, and I know you're a huge fan of Trivium. I know that much. Because I remember us talking about them, but also Amy just like don't tell Neil about him tickets to Trivium. He doesn't know. We're going to Austin, or I think I got that right.
Yeah, it was for a birthday. She bought me tickets to go see Trivium in Austin. That was awesome. That was I don't know how it was kept secret for so long, because I keep running into
I did my part.
People that she talked to about it. Like, everybody kept it a secret. It was awesome.
There you go. As long as you threw like birthday in it, and
then
I guess. That sews mouth shut, I guess. Mm-hmm. Never really checked them out too much. I don't know. I don't know what it is. One of those bands, there's so many bands, especially like with me, when you just check out all the bands, there's just bands that exist in your blind spot. You just have a blind spot for shit you probably really enjoy, but you just, even someone,
never came
you
across.
Know someone likes them,
yeah.
Fucking loves them, mm-hmm. seen them multiple times, and you and this person have so much music in common. And you hear all that, and just the dumb, ignorant part of your brain is just like, no, I'm good. You think that, like, that part of your brain tells you that, and you're just kind of like, no, I'll check them out. And you might be genuine at the time.
Yeah.
But later on, you're like, no, I'm good, man.
Yeah. Man,
keep listening to what you know you like.
People come to me at the bar, and we're having conversations and mention things like that. And I've tried to, like, be dedicated about writing things down and actually going to check it out, because I do like finding new music. But then there's other times where it's just like, as they're talking, as it's coming out of their mouth, like, oh, there's no way I'm looking that up. Like, I don't know.
You literally have to kidnap people. You have to chain them up in a basement next to a radiator. It's just like, what are you going to do to me? Are you going to saw? No, no, no. I just want you to hear this band I've been telling you about for the last 5 years. This is the only way this is going to happen. And they'll be like, can you just kill me? Because that's
no,
death.
Actually, no, thanks.
How'd you know it was the band Death I wanted to listen to? Chuck and Will, man.
Yeah, there's times in my car I'll pull this list up and I'm like, I could listen to any of this. Or I could just listen to Dio.
Yeah. You're like, oh, there's so many of these bands. There's play. I know this day. Oh, recently played. Let's go to the. Yeah. Mastodon it is. Mm-hmm. Oh, all the songs I already
this song
know.
This hour. There you go.
I heard this. No, I heard it yesterday. Okay, no, I can hear it again today. Yeah. I'm good. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I'm okay thinking that just because of how many bands I have listened to, how many CDs I bought, and how many CDs I bought that I shouldn't have. And I'm not even talking about like when you're young and you hear a song on the radio and you go buy the CD and just listen to that one song. I'm talking about like bands that go on the road and play for like 100 people, and that's great. Mm-hmm. I'll buy their CD, at like a used at a movie trading company, listen to it once, and I'm like, I should have done my research a little bit more.
Yeah. But that's kind of nice, like playing the roulette with it. I remember I'm sure you went to Entertainmart back when it was open. Out on Cooper Street. I worked there for several years before starting at the bar, mostly in the video game section, but we had music and DVDs and all that. But a lot of our stuff came from old movie trading companies and Hollywood Videos and stuff. And
it all just cycles around.
Yeah, it all kind of...
People like me that are just
I don't know where it is now.
If CD Warehouse didn't take it, movie trading company might...
Yeah,
and if no one takes it, then it just goes with the books to half price books.
Yeah,
it's like, please just give me 30 cents for these 10 CDs that are too scratched or abundant.
Right.
For the snooty guys who I respect at a CD warehouse. Like,
we would do that on occasion at Entertainmart when people would bring stuff to sell and it would be like burned or copied CDs. And obviously we wouldn't take those to resell, but they would just get left there. It's like, oh, let's listen to this guy's mixtape today and see what's going on. And like, I don't recall any of it. So, I mean, it wasn't like groundbreaking or life-changing or anything, but it was nice.
And Kazaa didn't exist. Or no, Shazam. Kazaa was a media downloading thing. Shazam didn't exist, so maybe you heard something you liked. You know who the fuck it was.
Yeah.
You're like, cool. I'll just keep this around and play it for people. Yeah, can you tell me who this is?
Blank CD.
That's when you go to CD Warehouse, be like, music nerds. Find Do you know this. Who this is? Please, for the love of God. Or you maybe could go on the internet, upload an MP3, or just kind of be like, can anybody tell me? Because sometimes even Shazam doesn't help. Or you don't know. You know, like we were talking about this earlier during dinner. This is the first podcast that has treated me to dinner. I will thank the cook here soon during her interview, or the chef. I know this can be demeaning. It's like, I thought I said that, like, you know, people that call like local comic, it's just like, okay, all right, yeah, I get it. I'm doing a show within a certain radius of where I lived. You don't have to shit on me. It's like road comic.
Is
it's
that
just
bringing
like,
it down, the local comic?
It feels derogatory.
Yeah.
It can be, like, local comic. Like, okay, well, shit, you know. Fucking household comics that live in LA that go do a show at the Comedy Store or at the in their own city. All right, fine. Call them a local comic because they technically are.
Yeah.
you want to dig into the semantics of it all? And it's like a road comic. Oh, he's one of those road comics. I'm just like, well, we're all on the road. I get it. I get what you're meaning by that, but it can also be said in like a derogatory kind of way. Like local music, like you throw in the word local.
Yeah.
It feels like, well, you didn't have to say that.
I don't know. I never would have taken it that way. It's more of like, oh, this is a local comic. Cool. Maybe I can see more of their stuff around here. If I like what it is.
It is. Yeah, that is true. Stuff,
maybe I have to go on the internet or something, but
it all just, you know, depends on how you imply it.
Yeah.
And it's like, instead of local comic, be like a DFW comic. You know,
okay.
I'd rather just anyone say that, you know, like if I was like booking a show, okay, if I'm booking a show for somebody and I'm like, and I throw some local comics on it, like I get it. Cause you know, that's what's going to happen on the show.
Right.
Understandable, but it can just be said, it just cuts people down a peg,
right.
It brings it down a peg, cuts it down a notch.
It's how
just
they
like,
say local.
Yeah. One of these local comics came and talked to me. It's just like, okay, dude, you mean a guy that's trying to do what you do and hasn't been doing it as long, hasn't been as successful.
Yeah. Started where you started, maybe.
That's what I think a lot of people, it's like, yeah, we do the same thing, but I'm just, you know, I get it. I'm not as successful as you, which, you know, can be true or cannot be true because you're just, you know, young.
Yeah.
Or you could be like me and should have done, you know, gotten more serious about this a long, long time ago, but whatever. Life's a journey, man.
Yeah.
Art is a lifelong venture. Who knows when I'll break out? whatever deludes, you know, whatever I have to tell myself. That's
hey, man, the point is having fun.
Yeah, it is.
Stuff like this.
Which I'm like, I don't care how I have to make it. That'll be fine. It's all just having fun along the way.
Yeah.
And not, where are we at? Oh, we're creeping up on an hour. So we talked about music. A lot of these podcasts go back to music like multiple times, but thank God we didn't have to rely too heavily on that.
But, no, it's nice to probably have like some sort of fallback like that. Like everybody can talk about music. Everybody has an opinion on music, even if that opinion is not at all, you know.
Do you have now bartending? Do you have any just gold fucking stories or a story? Something or a couple of tidbits, you know, a couple of vignettes you can walk us through, you know, some kind of, I don't know, something that comes to mind. I know there's been instances or just anything, you know, a fun bartending story of maybe some fucked up shit you've overheard that you maybe shouldn't have heard, but you did anyways, maybe seen.
I feel like I listened to a lot of what goes on around me while I bartend, you know, like people talk about server or bartender ears, you know, listening when people don't think you are. But as soon as I clock out or go home or something, it's like I just erase the hard drive.
Oh, yeah, no. I know. I get it.
I remember, I'm trying to think of a good. Nah, I'm blanking right now.
Maybe if I told you ahead of time. Just yeah. Like, but no, I completely understand that mindset that because later. It's like there's always like a go-to comedy story that happened at Sunshine. I can always like fall back on. Yeah. If people give me like a good 7 to 10 minutes to tell it. But yeah, there's some of them, I'm like, yeah, there's like been stupid heckler people, but also I don't even like acknowledging it when it happens.
Right.
No, so I can understand that. Just there's so many. And if you want like great bartender stories, fucking go on Reddit. Like all, you know, I can only imagine there's so many bartenders that are just like, I can't wait to get on the thread tonight.
I actually haven't been asked that question in a while.
Oh, really?
Like while I'm at work or outside of work. So I feel like I used to have like a couple in my pocket, like you're talking about, just in case, you know, somebody asks, because that is a pretty common question. But now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think I've been asked that in a while.
We're going to get done and then, and then I'll interview Amy. And then like, as I'm leaving, you're going to be like, fuck, and it'll be fucking gold. And I'll be like, I already got all this shit packed up in my backpack. Yeah. I'll just be like, you know what? I'll just leave that
I'll
for us.
I'll call you, leave a voicemail, you slice it in.
That would require learning how all this, that would require learning how Audacity works. Yeah. And all I do it for is converting the WAV to an MP3, because I'm lazy. DIY is, I was talking to my buddy Matt last night, he mentioned the term DIY, and you know, we talked about like comedy as a form of punk rock and that mindset and you know, that conversation. And I'm just like, yeah, that's right. What I do is DIY. And that's code for lazy as fuck. In my podcast, it's got a DIY kind of feel. I don't adjust levels. I don't know how to use any of the tools. I'm too lazy to do a tutorial for anything.
Right.
But it sounds okay to me.
Download, upload, done.
Like, fuck, there's mega fans in this world of terrible sounding black metal bands that sound like absolute shit. And I'm talking about recorded. They probably know what they're doing musician wise, but it sounds like absolute shit. And I'm like, you flew to fucking Portland to see them. You flew to fucking Stockholm to see them. And you want to criticize the levels of my podcast. So there's people that like absolute things that I consider garbage, like noise bands, which I can't. Like I've seen grindcore bands and I can understand like, oh, that's a start to a finish. Those are the instruments. There were some bands at Sunshine the other week and I went and saw that. The opening band was, I want to say 20 to 30% noise. Mm-hmm. There was instruments, but there's a drummer. I want to say a guitar player and a bass player. And then there was a guy, not keyboards, you know, because I can understand that, especially if you're playing an extreme metal band. But he literally had something that's like twice the size of my Zoom thing just standing there. And it's plugged into whatever, you know, a speaker. Yeah. And he's just, you know, sitting there like twisting a knob or two. And that was his instrument. I'm like, I don't know what that is, but that's the thing that's making me hate watching this band. Even on the patio, I'm just like, this is garbage. This is literally white noise garbage to me.
Yeah, I had some friends that were into noise and kind of produced their own stuff.
I will always shit on that.
15 years ago. There was kind of an artistry to it that, you know, I could appreciate and kind of delve into. It's definitely not my cup of tea.
I guarantee you that they will not get paid $100 to play for six people for 15 minutes. They are playing for six people and they're probably playing for 15 minutes. Yeah, they're damn sure not making $100. So, it popped in my head. True. I was like, oh, I can bring this all back around by one shitting on noise, which is it's noise. It's literal noise. And there's one, two, three guys that are just like, here's my laptop. I brought in some power tools. Here's a sander going on the old laptop. And he's, you know, got a computer program and we're just going to test the limits of human sanity. I respect the idea, but the execution is literal garbage.
Fair enough.
It, I know. And I get it. I get you know, these people. I'm just like, hey, these people I've been standing next to seeing actual bands play in garages. And maybe there was a noise band that opened up. But I'm like, I'm sorry. That's where I draw the line. Just draw the line there. I'm not. No, because then I'd have to hang out with you. And I don't want to see what these people's apartments look like. It is nowhere near as nice as your house. But yeah, that's just one thing that I opened up for some punk bands in Denton a couple of months ago. And then, you know, they're playing on the, you know, on their main stage, not the big outside stage, but the inside main stage.
Yeah.
And in the small room next to the bar were some noise acts. And I was like, and I was at the bar. I was just like, man, I thought it was just the music they were playing. And I'm like, these guys usually play some pretty cool music. I can talk to the bartenders about what's being played overhead. And we can like, oh, this is Chat Pile. Like that was one of the bands that came up. Like, oh, cool. But I was like, huh? And I looked around. I was like, oh, it's coming from there in a small room. That's like the size, probably smaller than the living room we're in right now.
Yeah.
And there's people just standing around drinking like PBRs, watching it. And I'm like, what are they watching? They're not watching in the sheer fascinating, you know, sense that I would watch it. And then immediately be like, okay, fuck this, I'm out after 30 seconds. No, these people are enjoying it. I just...
That's strange to me. Not that people are enjoying it, but like the setting. I definitely went to see several friends do it, play a noise at... You know, it was their house, but it was in a soundproof garage. Dark. Everybody that was there wanted to be there because they knew what was going on and wanted to, not a public setting where people just maybe wanted a beer and are subjected to it.
Yeah.
That's odd.
Oh. All right, man, you ready to wrap this up?
Yeah.
We got one more to go and maybe another beer to drink too. Well, Neil, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been fun. I like your house here. I'm going to go more in depth on that with Amy. I feel like this is a lot of her touch. I saw your apartment maybe once or twice back in the day, and it was fine. It wasn't messy or anything, but this definitely has a bohemian touch that only one Amy Kuykendall, I think, can bring. Not that you're not a hippy dippy groovy man yourself, a fellow hair.
The flowers are mine.
A fellow former hair inspiration, because you've always had the long hair, right?
Yeah, man. I've cut it a couple of times in my adult life, but. Always with red.
That's kind of the look going forward.
Yeah.
I'm done with it myself. It's just too many cowlicks.
Yeah.
That's why I grew it, because of all the cowlicks. But then now I have a stylist that knows
how to handle it.
Knows my previous complaints with my short hair. And she's just like, well, it grows this way and that way and that way. And then she's like, I can do this. And so for almost 3 years, I've been going to Bonnie. Shout out, Bonnie. She knows what I like. She can, worth it.
Sounds like a magician.
Oh yeah. So, plus, you get the smells, like get the ointments and the smells and the hair washing and the slight massage. Like that's.
Yeah,
I'm like, I didn't know it could be this good. Do you do mani-pedis too?
I think probably it's not better that. Only getting one of those every couple of years. So it's like built up. It's a big thing. Oh, you can ask Amy about it. Like it's a thing whenever I cut my hair because it hasn't happened in a couple of years. And it's like...
It is an event.
It's
something you could probably invite people to come see.
Yeah. I should sell tickets.
Pair it up with Mars's birthday.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian.
All right. Adios. Like, subscribe. Remember, you can find us on Spotify, Apple, and other places, Podbean, distribute, whatever. You know how to find podcasts. Don't be an idiot. Bye, guys.